Okay. Rambam, in his introduction to the 10th parak in the Sanhedrin, known as Chelek, so the Rambam has it's a philosophical masterpiece, a bit of a whirlwind. He goes through in his pursuit of the goal to define properly or to convey the proper idea of Olam Haba. The Rambam goes through some of the most fundamental, essential ideas of Hashkafa. He goes through ideas of human perfection, ideas of Lishma, the method of interpreting Chazal. Human knowledge, perception in this world and its limits, HaMesim, Gan Eden, Gehenim, right? Yimos HaMashiach. And all in order to be able to give an idea, a proper idea of Olam Haba. And in the end of this long treatise, the Rambam says, "Umima sheroi shalosh esrei yisodos." So he decides at the end of this long introduction that this is the most fitting place for him to put down what he calls the Yud Gimel Yisodos. Okay. Yeah, and at the end of this parish on the Mishnah, the Rambam says that he says, I've expanded on these things excessively. I went out of my, the basic idea of the chibur, which is to explain the Mishnah. But I saw things that were very important in Emunah. And I gathered them from many places that were spread around. And it's a great benefit to, it's something that's very important to do. And he says like this, Chazor al divrei ela pamim rabos. The Ram says, go over these things many times and think into them well. And if you fool yourself into thinking that you understand them after one time or 10 times, Hashem knows that you're lying to yourself. Okay. And he says, don't go through these quickly because I didn't write them just as they, occurred to me. Rather, after great consideration and thought and eon. So basically, the Rambam, so the point that I'm trying to make over here is that, what's called the Yud Gimel Yesodos. So what the Rambam is distilling over here in the Yud Gimel Yesodos, in no way is something that could just be understood simply. It's not something that you can reduce to 13 statements that you recite, and consider yourself to understand them. That's impossible. And it's impossible for us today to really delve into the Yud Gimel Yesodos and to have a full understanding of them. Certainly something that requires its own study. And the fact that the Ram didn't just write Yud Gimel Yesodos, it's at the end of this whole long philosophical discussion, that itself shows you that it's really a conclusion of a longer discussion. So you can't really, it's not possible. The Ram certainly was not the one who composed the Yud Gimel Animamim in the end of the Tefillah. So what I want to do today is more talk about the idea of the Yud Gimel Yesodos. What it is that the Rambam is trying to accomplish over here. And how we should think about them. Is it like a litmus test? to be counted as Armenian? You know, is it a ticket to Olam Haba? What are the Yudim Yesodos? So, yeah, and the Yad, he doesn't replicate this 13 in the Yad. He has them, of course. You can find them all throughout the Yad, but they're not listed like a separate entity. Of course, he's Somech on everything he writes. So, yeah, but in the end, yeah, so that's what I want to try to understand. What's the significance of these 13? Some of them are questions why they're included. Some questions are about things that were not included. And that's the objective here. I want to try to see if we can understand what the Rambam is trying to accomplish. What's the significance of these ideas? And also, what kind of a knowledge must you have of each one of them? Yeah. In other words, for instance, if you're going to say it's just a question of who has the chelak and who doesn't, that's obviously not true. I mean, many things around lists in Hilchos Shuvah, more than 13, a person loses chelak and halacha. So it's not just a list, it's not like a list of who's in and who's out. So what exactly is it? Okay. So what I'd like to do is go through some questions on the Yud Gimel Yesodos. Many people have raised many questions on the Yud Gimel Yesodos, and they're different kinds of questions. Okay. Yeah, the Sefer HaYikarim, I mean, that's spends a lot of time trying to figure out what the Rambam is trying to do, and he raises many questions, and he has his own system over there. But essentially, one of the questions he raises is an important thing to consider. And that is, what exactly does it mean to be a yesod? What is a yesod? So sometimes you'll notice, sometimes they call them Yud Gimel Yikarim. Right? The Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam actually uses both terms. He says, Ikare Torasenu HaTahora V'Yisodoseha Lo Yisodos. It's confusing. The 13 Yisodos are Ikarim and Yisodos. So it's a little bit of a. So what do we mean by Yisodos? What do we mean by Ikarim? Okay, so, and how does that work out over here in the Rambam? So again, I'm just going to go through some questions first, and then I'll come back and try to answer them. So when we talk about an ikar, so an ikar usually means like an essential thing, like ikar and tefillah. Okay. But it's hard to say that the Rambam in these 13 Yesodos is trying to reduce the Torah to its most important ideas. It's been done before by others in other contexts. So, for instance, you have the famous statement of Hillel, right? Like man comes to him and says, "I want you to tell me the whole Torah on regel achas," and he said, "Okay, that which is which you hate, don't do to your friend. The rest is pirush." So we're trying to reduce all of Torah to the most essential ideas. I mean, Hillel did it. And Gemara in Makkah says David got it down to I think 11, and Micha got it down to 3, and Amos got it down to 1. So this idea of trying to pull out the most essential idea of Torah is something that has been done before, and it seems that you don't need 13. So what is the Rambam trying to do over here? Yeah, and it's interesting because the Rambam says that Malachim, for instance, he says is one of the most important ideas in Torah, or Bechira, important idea in Torah. They're not listed. It's true, he references Malachim Agavorcho, but it's not likely. So it's hard to say that it is, it's a list of the most important ideas. Okay. Yeah. So what is it then? Is it like Sajigon has an idea that you take the 10, you take the Aseret HaDibros, you can work out from them all of the misses. So is it something like that? Like we can
Like if you know these, you can sort of expand them into all of the mitzvahs. It's hard to say that that's what the Rambam is doing over here also. For instance, one of the yesodos is every word of the Torah is true. So we could just have that, right? And then you'll get everything, because practically everything he quotes here, he sources back to the Torah, to a pasuk in the Torah. And also, it's hard to understand why, and this is something that Albo pounds on, is Mashiach. Why is that such an important idea? Why is that such an important idea? Okay. So the other possibility is Yesod means more like a system, like a logical system of postulates that other things are built upon, right? So that seems that would be a different kind of an idea of Yud Gimel Yesodos. Like, what can I what do what what's the smallest number of, so to speak, postulates or ideas that I can reduce the Torah to in order for it to exist? But again, and it's interesting. I mean, these are not mitzvos. It's not mitzvos. The Rambam doesn't list 13 mitzvos. So it does seem like it's something prior to mitzvah, something which upon which mitzvah is built, right? Like nevuah. It's not a mitzvah. There's no mitzvah to the sort of nevuah per se. Or they're not formulated as mitzvahs. So that's for sure. But again, how could it be that Tchias HaMeisim and Mashiach, those are points, those are particular, those themselves are particular ideas. Hard to see how that is a fundamental, foundational idea upon which other things are built. Okay. And like I said before, the Rambam kind of combines in his terminology both of these terms. He doesn't want to limit himself. He says the 13 Yesodos, the Ikare Torah Seinu, and the Yesodos are 13 Yesodos. So a little bit of a confusion. Does he mean the Yesodos or Ikare? Okay. That's one question. Just what is he trying to do here? Another question, though, is given what he's doing, what's the outcome of it? So at the end, the Rambam says, he says, when you have all of these yesodos, okay, and your amunah in them is true, then you are nichnas b'chlal Yisrael. Okay, and there's a mitzvah and there's an obligation to love this individual and have compassion upon him, and everything that the Torah commands about ahava and achva, okay. And so that certainly is an outcome of this. A person is considered to be v'ahavta l'reacha. Who's your reacha? Who's achicha? Someone who holds these yesodos. But then the Ram says, even if he's a sinner, okay, and his yetzer hara overpowers him, he's nenash according to his faith. He says, he has a chilek, v'yesh lo chilek. Okay, yeah. But it's difficult to understand. Does the Rambam really mean that as long as a person has these yud gimel yesodos, he has a chilek olam? Is that really true? That the minute the person is convinced of these yud gimel yesodos, that is it? Have a chilek olam? I mean, the Gemara says, and the Rambam says, at the end of Makos, right? Why does the Torah give so many mitzvos? Right, the Torah gives so many mitzvos as a zefus, because the Rambam says that the way a person is kolam kona olam haba is through doing mitzvos lishma. So he says, shim kayim yisodos the Torah. Shim kayim other mitzvah mishlosh yisrael v'sheish meos mitzvos karoy kahogan. Okay, he does it lishma, then he's zocher ba l'chayel mamo. But according to this Rambam, all you need to do is have these 13 Yikim, so you automatically have an Olam. So what does Rambam mean by that? What does Rambam mean by that? And if you look through, I mean, in Hilchos Teshuvah, the Rambam discusses, the brachos and the klalos, and he emphasizes what the brachos and the klalos is. So we'll either have the opportunity to do mitzvos, which are the way we are kona olam haba, or we won't have the opportunity to do mitzvos, and we'll lose our ability to be kona olam haba. But over here, it makes it sound like, okay, you got these 13, you have olam haba. So what does he mean by that? Furthermore, this is an important question. Regardless of the first two, you have to understand what type of a knowledge do we need to have of this. Even you say, okay, I don't know what the Rambam's doing. I trust him. Let me learn the Yisodos. But what kind of a knowledge do you need to have of these Yisodos in order to be considered Nichlas B'chal Yisrael? How in depth does it have to be? Yeah, it's interesting because each Yisod, the Rambam has a very brief heading. I don't know. A Yisod Okay. And then he gives an elaboration. Each one has that, I think. Stop. But then he has an elaboration of what he means. So it's Mestava, it would seem that he means you don't really understand what the Yisod of Nevuah is, for instance, unless you understand the who. Right. So certainly it's not just like I said before. To memorize these Rosh HaPrakim, but in each one, how much of the details, like for instance, the Yesod of Moshe elaborates onto all the four chilukim. Is that really necessary to understand each chiluk in order to understand in order to say you have the Yesod of Moshe, you both Moshe? You have to understand. Let's see if we can have an answer to that question. For instance, like in the first few, he doesn't state like the Metzias, Achdus, Gashmias. He doesn't really go into them in a philosophical manner of proof, like he does in the mitzvah. For instance, if you look in the mitzvah of Leidas Yesham Matzirishon, or the mitzvah of Achdus, he kind of includes over there a manner of proof, some manner of proof, but over here it's just the more of the fact. Okay. Yeah, but at the end, I just read you a minute ago. At the end, he does say, "V'kasher yihyu kayomim l'odam kol ha'yesodos halalu ve'emunaso behem amitah." So that sounds like you got to really fully understand them. So do you really have the idea of achdus truthfully if you don't know a philosophical proof of why it has to be so? Interestingly, though, if you look in the Yesod HaShishi again on Nevuah, the Rambam tries to explain Nevuah, and then at the end he says, and really, in order to really understand this and explain this fully, it would take way too much time, and that's not our purpose. Just know Nevuah as a fact. Okay, so obviously, you see from that when he says you have to know them. When he says that your amunah has to be amitas, it doesn't mean the philosophical amitas of understanding exactly how it is and why it must be. Because by nevuah, it basically says it's not possible over here. So what is the amitas exactly? What does that mean? Okay. Yeah. And also, I mean, like I was mentioning, if you really understood Metzias Hashem in the fullest sense, then you could really combine, at least the first four probably into one idea. Okay. That's correct. And so if you're mafakpek in them, then you're out. Correct. I'll get to that in a minute. Good. Kasha, you're fakpek Adam, the yisod me'ele yisodos reizu yotzum min klal. V'kofer bikra. Nikra min not bikoros v'kotzis min v'yos. Right. So the fourth yisod, it's very interesting. It's a historical, it's like interesting historically that apparently he revised the fourth yisod. Okay, and if you have the kafach with the footnotes, so he explains that basically the first Mahadura, the first manuscript of the first Yesod, basically said the first half of what we have, and that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is eternal, okay, absolutely eternal, and nothing else is eternal like him, okay, and that was basically Kadmus, we call it Kadmus. That was basically the end of the Yesod. Okay. Which is interesting because it essentially seems a little bit like a repetition of the first Yesod. Because the first Yesod also says, without his existence, nothing could exist and all of that. So obviously, nothing could precede his existence. So, exactly what is the emphasis of Kadmus over here? But then, Kafach says that at a later date, in the, you know, you can tell from the manuscripts that he wrote in an addition, and that is Vidak Yayesod Hagodol Shel Toras Moshe Rabbeinu Hu Hayos HaOlam Mechudash Yotzer Hashem Uboro Achar HaHeder. So he added in that it's a Yesod of the Torah, great Yesod of the Torah, that the world is created from nothing. Okay. And I'm not going to continue, but basically, the question though is then, what is this fourth yisod? If the fourth yisod is yesh me'ayin, bria ha'olam, he should have said it the first time. So why didn't he write that the first time? What was he trying to indicate? Is in his addition, sounds like he's revising what the yisod is. So what did he think the first time he wrote it? That it's just Cadmus, and what is he revising with creation?
He ends by saying, check out the more moving, which
That's right.
he doesn't say in the other ones.
That's
I mean,
right.
what's your editing?
Well, that's clear that this is an addition, right? Right, because he couldn't have written that the first time around. But he kind of gives himself some kind of a hisnatzlus over there, why he doesn't emphasize Bria HaOlam as much as you would think. Okay. Okay. And then to point you were making, if you take a look at the Yesod of Mashiach, so he says it is to believe ula'ames, right? That he will come. Okay. And not to say he'll be delayed, and you'll wait for him. And then he says like this. Okay, so all of the ideas of anticipating the arrival of of Mashiach, and he says, "Umi shenistapek bo ozilzel beinyono hareze makdish as Torah sheyivticha bo beferish b'parshas Bilam." Okay. So he says, in the Yesod of Mashiach, he says, and if you have any doubt, then you're a kofer in the Torah. But like you said, every Yesod, if you have a doubt, then you're a kofer. So why does he have to say in the one by Mashiach, if you have any doubt, it's a problem? Everyone's the same. Okay. And finally, my last question, at least, is on. Oh, to take a poll. What's the most difficult yisod? Why it's a yisod? All right. Huh? That's right. That's a classic question. Yeah. Also, I don't know. To me, it always bothers me a little bit. Nevuas Moshe. What is the yesod of Nevuas Moshe? I mean, if it's simply to facilitate Torah Min HaShamayim, it would seem you could incorporate in Torah Min HaShamayim. Torah Min HaShamayim is every word. Yeah, he has it in the yesod of Torah Min HaShamayim. Basically, that Moshe was a loyal Lavlor, every word was transcribed. It wasn't like Mara. It just what I understand those points. Like I understand as important that in order to have the perfection of Torah, the shleimus of Torah, to have the Nevuas Moshe be separate. But I just don't understand why it has to be a separate yesod. Like can it be that's what part of Torah is? What is Torah? Torah is the most perfect transmission from God to man. And why does it have to be have its own yesod? And why is there so much discussion about Moshe and all the different the differences between him and the other Nevi'im? Yeah. Okay. Seems like the focus is excessive. All right, so those are the problems that that I wanted to discuss over here. All right. So I think the question we have to think about is in composing this these 13 yesodos, who is the Rambam addressing? Okay, who is the Rambam addressing? You have to know. The audience, right? So like Saji Gaon, I think in the beginning of his sefer, says I mean, he's not writing a sefer, to try to prove someone who doesn't believe. He's trying to elaborate ideas for someone who already is a maimon. So you have to understand the focus of the sefer is going to be different depending on your objective, and your objective is different depending on your audience. So I think that the Rambam over here, like many others, recognizes that a person, it's possible for a person to be Shomer, Torah, Mitzvos, right? Keep all of the Torah, do all of the Mitzvos, and yet gain no perfection. Okay, because the person doesn't have basic ideas of God, of Hashem, and what avoda is. He doesn't have basic concepts of who he's serving, then all of his avodas is worthless. I mean, it's something that almost expresses, right? That the person doesn't have an idea of the internal Kovos, all the mitzvahs and mitzvahs that he does have no effect. They can become essentially a different religious practice because they're not relating back to the objective of being Makir Boro. So that's something that that everybody understands. It's basically a Muskel Rishon that without the proper philosophical ideas. Without the proper idea of who you're serving, there's no idea. Could there be an idea of tefillah without a person having an idea of a Kadosh Baruch Hu? It's not possible. Okay. That's clear. But I think that there's another problem, right? In other words, you could do mitzvos, again, you could do the mitzvos, and if you don't have the proper ideas of Hashem, the mitzvos are not going to have a value. But there's another problem. So what do you tell that person? You say, okay, so you need to learn, right? You need to study. You need to engage in limud, right? Because gadol limud is maybe the ma'aseh. If you don't have the idea of what you're doing, then of course the ma'aseh is worthless. But there's another problem in limud itself. Just to tell a person to learn through Torah, and therefore you'll know who you're serving, that itself is fraught with danger. And I think that 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 the Rambam maybe is trying to address that issue more specifically. That you could learn through the Psukim, learn through Tanakh, learn through Chazal, and unless you have some grounding in what kinds of concepts are admissible or inadmissible, what kinds of concepts are necessary and what is impossible, then your the very process of limud could cause a person to come to corrupt ideas. And it's something that the Ravid, admits to in the in, even in his great critique on the Rambam, he says there were people who were great great scholars and had terrible ideas of hashkafa because of the Chazal, the Agadatas that are Meshabesh HaSadeos. So there needs to be a hierarchy of concepts, a hierarchy of ideas. And if you just say to a person, learn, it's a very dangerous thing because there are many psukim that, many statements, psukim, chazal, that don't, that sort of contradict others. Okay? There's not always a ksav hashlishi that's makriya. So you'll have to say, well, which one is the one I take as the essence, and which one do I interpret in light of the other? And very often, unfortunately, what a person does is they simply latch on to a statement that satisfies their emotional needs, and then they build a system around it, and everything else gets twisted and turned to fit into what they're what they laid down as the yesod. Okay, and that's what the Rambam is trying, I think, is trying to develop over here. Some kind of yesod, meaning to say, not a yesod in the sense of a logical system of breaking down the mitzvahs of the Torah, like Albo tries to do, into a system that you can reduce to its the fewest postulates, like a geometry. No, it's the whole Torah. Of course, everybody needs the whole Torah, but you need to have a certain system of grounding. You need to be grounded in certain ideas in order to approach, in order to learn the Torah, in order to gain the value of the Torah. Otherwise, you're liable to take a statement here or a pasuk there and misinterpret it. And worse, use that misinterpreted concept as a as your found the fundamental of Torah. And that's the great, obviously, the great the danger of something like Kabbalah and Zohar and things like that, that they're very deep, not literal, and unfortunately, if a person wanders into that, even a great person wanders into that and find something that appeals to their own, whatever you want to call it, then not reality, then they become misled. So that's what the Rama means over here. They're, the Yesodos are both Yesodos and Ikaram. In other words, you need to have certain essential concepts of Torah, and then there are certain points. And if a person has these 13, which are some combination of essential concepts and maybe just particular points that you wouldn't call an essential concept, he's guided now. Now he has the grounding, the yesodos. Now he has the foundation upon which he can build his learning of Torah. Okay. I'm saying they're true. Ikar would mean something that is like an essential idea. Okay. But yesod, and the yesod could just be something that is a, it doesn't qualify as an ikar, not maybe the top, one of the top 13 concepts in Torah, but it is a found, it is something that will be fundamental in your learning, even though it doesn't have the quality of ikar. Now we'll see if I can, if we can identify some. But Yeah. So, and that's what the Rama means. It doesn't mean if you have these 13 yesodos, you have an olam haba automatically. It means to say now your asiyas ha-mitzvah can be lishma. Of course, it's only of course you zocha to olam haba through being osik in Torah and mitzvahs. And like the Rama says, to the why is the first, right? Rabbi Hanani ben Akashi Omer, don't say Kashi. Blessed are God's Rachel, Luz goes to Israel, the Tigger Charabalim Torah Mitzvahs, right? So, Shinemar, Hashem Chazaman Sigal, Yagdil Torah V'Yadir. So, that's, of course, the route to be Zoch and Olam Hav. Was trying to work on maybe a chilik of Yeshel Chelek, and maybe Zocha, but it's, you have to work, you have to see, it doesn't work through in all of you. But anyway, but that's, I think that's true. Yeshel Chelek means, okay, he has a chelik, but did he, was he zocha to it? I don't know. Depends. It depends. So now he's nichnas b'chlal Yisrael, meaning we have to love him and assist him because he is on a true pursuit. That's our kinship. That's the reis. That's achicha. Meaning we now are, yes, he is joined with us in the proper pursuit. And if someone is off of this pursuit, he's not part of Klal Yisrael, because that's the definition of Klal Yisrael, the group that is pursuing the perfection as contained in the Torah. Okay, so these are ideas that are essential to sort of guide the proper study of Torah. Okay? All right. So, yeah. Okay, 1 second. Yeah. And that's why they're not stated in terms of philosophical truths, but more points of information. So, for instance, yeah. Okay, 1 second. So, for instance, like in terms of the Soda Shlishis, Ram discusses Shlilus HaGashmius. So it's interesting in the Yad in the Mitzvah, that's part of the idea. It's part of the Mitzvah of Achdus, is Shlilus HaGashmius. But over here, it's more of a statement of fact to prevent a person from learning through Torah. If a person were to learn through Psukim and Chazal without this Yesod, he would be misled. And it's interesting, that's what the Rambam says about in response to those who say they were misled by Psukim. He says, you can't use the excuse you were misled by Psukim, because we have Unkelus who is there laying down this Yesod every single time of Shlilus HaGashmius. So that's what the Rambam is trying to do over here. Trying to show you, it's not the Yesod HaShlishi of Shlilus HaGashmius in terms of its philosophical necessity, because he doesn't really demonstrate it philosophically, but it means to say, in terms of the approach to Torah, in terms of gaining properly, you have to know lo yareyu ma'oros hagufim. Nothing occurs to him like that occurs to a goof. Okay, and therefore he says lefikach sholu mimenu. You have to remove all types of activity, amida, yeshiva, right? The Ram's whole first half of the first book. And he says, and when the Torah talks about these things, so whenever you see in the Psukim, it says things about occurrences of a guf, like halicha, amida, yeshiva, he says that's just a mashal. So that's the essence, that's what he's trying to emphasize over here. You see that's the nature of the yisod. And he says divrei Torah kolashim b'nei Adam. Okay, and I think you see another interesting example of this in the fifth yisod, because if you would say that it is the most important ideas themselves,
you don't have avodah zarah expressed as a yesod explicitly. It's not one of the yesodos. Don't worship avodah zarah. Okay, where is it contained? But where is it contained in the Yud Gimel yesodos? It's contained in the fifth yesod, and the Rambam expresses it though interestingly. He says, "Shehu yisaleh," right? According to Baruch Hu, who asher ro'oi le'ovedo u'le'romamo u'le'farsem gidulaso u'mashmauso. That only Hashem is it proper to serve, to elevate, to make known his greatness. Okay? And you don't do this to anything that's lamata mimenu, like malachim, kofavim, okay, galgolim, yisodos. Why Rikisha Kulam Mutboem Bikulosehem Ainlam Shilton Velobahira Ella Rutsono Yisal. Nothing other than Hashem has true independence. Everything else that's below him is just fixed in their nature. And they're just expressing the Ratzon Hashem. So ain osin mehenem say. So therefore, there's no reason to praise them. There's no reason to elevate them. It's not a truthful thing because they are just expressions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. Okay. So again, if you read the Yesod, the focus of the Yesod is that your objective of Romamos, your objective of it's not like it's not the Yesod of Tila. Right? Sometimes you'll do that, oh, that it's who Asher Roy Le'ovido. Oh, maybe this is the Yesod of Tefillah. It's not. It's much more than that. It's that all of your focus on all of your focus, and the only thing that is worthy of your real ultimate praise and ultimate adoration and ultimate love, he doesn't use the word love here, but is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's not proper to focus your attention in that kind of way on anything lower than him, because everything else is just an expression of his Ratzon. And he says, "Kaltov yisale yichavnu hamachashavos." That's the Yisod. Towards God alone, you should direct your thoughts. V'yanichu kol masha zulaso. And he says, and this Yisod is an azhara on avodah zarah. And he says, and most of the Torah is bo lahazir b'alzer. But what's interesting is, what is this very reminiscent of? The formulation of this fifth Yisod is very reminiscent. If you'll look in the Yad, it's almost literally a verbatim part of what he describes as what? As what he calls the great, no, but before that, is what he calls the great ta'us that they made in the Dor Enosh. So they made a great mistake. The ikur of Avodah Zarah, the Rambam says, is a great ta'us that they made in the time of Enosh. And they thought that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, is great, but he also created these wonderful things. And therefore, part of giving Hashem kavod is giving them kavod. That, he says, opens up the door for Avodah Zarah. It's not, we could clarify here if that is itself is Avodah Zarah or it's just the ikur, it's the beginning of Avodah Zarah. But the point is, it certainly is not the lav of Avodah Zarah in the way of service and worship. Okay. But it is the guidance against Avodah Zarah. So the Rambam in the fifth Yesod is essentially telling you that there's a danger of misdirecting your kavana to this idea, this mistake of Enosh, and essentially he's arming you against that with the fifth Yesod. So what I'm trying to express over here is the fifth Yesod as a Yesod against Avodah Zarah is not thou shalt not serve another god, right? That's a mitzvah. That's a particular. In terms of Yesodos, it's giving you a limud of a derech. It's giving you the idea of the proper approach to how to
how to look at the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu vis-a-vis his creation. And now, with that in hand, so to speak, you'll be guarded from the mistake of Enosh. And just for instance, just like in this week's parsha, you have a very strange mitzvah in the parsha of the Sar la'Azazel, and you might not understand what the Sar la'Azazel is and what kind of an avoda it is, but with the fifth yisod, it is not something that the Torah is like, oh, Torah is telling us we should give Azazel something. Maybe that's a bit of a focus we should put onto other powers. Of course, we'll do it in a kosher way, and we'll figure out. But no, without this yisod, you may be misled by certain things, and you have to have this yisod. No, whatever it is, I don't know better to say I don't know what Azazel is than to say, ah, oh, Azazel. This shows you something is going on. Really, something is going on. No, the yisod will protect you from that. And that's essentially the derech of what the Ram is trying to accomplish. Okay. Now, in terms of the grouping, okay, if I'm telling you that it's some kind of a guidance in the way to approach Torah, is there some kind of a categorization of these topics that we need? That we need that we have the guidance on, and again, I have to come back to how does Mashiach and Tchias HaMeisim fit into such a guidance idea? Obviously, those are two particulars. All right, so So I would say like this, that the order is interesting. So you have Metzias HaBorei is the first one. Okay, then you have Achduso. Yeah, so anyway, so in other words, when he says that you have to know them truthfully and you can't have a doubt in them, that he doesn't mean Amitas means could mean that I have a firm conviction in them. Doesn't necessarily mean that I know them intrinsically and I understand them in all of their depths and all of their necessities. But as a Talmud, I have accepted these concepts as absolutely true. Maybe just through Masorah. But as long as a person has these firmly in his mind as things that have no doubt, and therefore he'll be ensured that his study of Torah is proper. So he doesn't mean these are he's not trying to describe no that's a chiluk. No, if he was trying to say these are the most important ideas in Torah and the content, and when a person has these ideas contained in his soul, he has olam haba, then he'd have to understand them completely. You understand? But what I'm saying is, no, that's not what he's talking about. He means to say, as long as a person is totally convinced of the truth of these things, by whatever means, through Masorah, through his conviction in the Chachamim, as long as he has that absolute conviction, therefore he'll be able to properly engage the Talmud Torah and the Asiyas HaMitzvos to have the proper lishma and the proper gain in his knowledge. Okay. So the first yes. So you have Metzias HaBorei, Achduso, and Shlilus Gashmius. Okay. So those obviously are concepts about how to approach knowledge of God. Okay, that's a clear grouping. So now I get back to the to what we were discussing with the fourth yisod. What exactly is the fourth yisod? Kadmus. Yeah, and he says shezeh ha'echad ha'matur hu ha'kadmon be'echad, that this one, the first five he keeps referencing back to the previous, right? He says metzias ha'borei, and the second one is Vehu shezeh ilat hakol echad. It was the one that we said before. He's also one.
And then the third one is Shezeho Echad. He wants to show you can't take these as obviously distinct, is not a good. And Shezeho Echad, right, is Kadmon Beechlin, absolutely eternal. Kadmon, it means early, but it means eternal here. And everything besides him is not. Okay, biyeches elav, in relation to him. So, what is the nature of this yisod? So, what is the nature of this? So, like I said, he came back and he kind of revised it and says, this is the yisod hagadol shel Toras Moshe Rabbeinu is ha'olam mechudash. So, why didn't he write that first? Ha'yisod ha'rvi shel olam mechudash. So, what I'm telling you is like this: if this was. Why do you not write? So the Rambam says in the Moreh Nevuchim that we don't believe in that he doesn't accept. It's not, you know, there are different issues with Kadmus, right? There's the there is and he has a long discussion over there with the prevailing philosophical ideas of the time, and he makes this famous statement that the psukim alone are not enough to base a proof one way or the other. Right, because psukim could be interpreted in light of reason, in light of in ways of mashal. So from the psukim alone, because that's not why I'm saying these things, right? It tries to go through why rationally, logically, it's so. So I think the Rambam over here is doing the same thing. He's saying, look, I'm the purpose of the Yesod HaRevi'i is so that a person can learn the psukim and take the proper notion from them. It's not the idea just on its own. And Mitzia and Chiddush HaOlam is contained in many psukim. Ram says, for instance, in the Mar, says the Torah starts with Bryas HaOlam because that's an important idea. The only problem is without the system of Yesod, you may misinterpret psukim in light in some kind of metaphorical way. So all the Rambam really had to do over here in the fourth yesod, in order for you to have the proper knowledge of Torah, which is that Reishis bara Elokim Hashamayim va'aretz is literal, is to know that there's nothing that is eternal vis-a-vis in reference to God. So the yesod harevi'i again is not so much the concept of Bryas HaOlam, but the yesod that will guide you to the proper understanding of the Torah's expression of Bryas HaOlam. You understand? So in the first rendition, he didn't need to put in Bryas HaOlam. In terms of yesod, it's more than just the yesod. It's giving you the proper basis from which you could interpret all of the rest of the psukim. You understand? And that's really what he intended to do. And he felt that just by saying, look, nothing is eternal with God, demonstrates that when I read Bereshis Bara Elokim Hashamayim va'aretz is literal. Now a person, again, he's not writing on a blank slate. And he's not saying these 13 things on a blank slate represent perfection and Torah knowledge. There's a whole Torah to study that Torah knowledge. But in the method of studying the Torah, you need these 13 rules, so to speak, these 13, grounding, certain so 13 hierarchical ideas that everything you learn must be checked against. You know what I'm saying? So if I tell you that there is nothing, that Hashem is the only Kadmon, and nothing is Kodom, Biyeches Elav, then Memela, I'll have Bryas HaOlam. And the Rambam thought logically he accomplishes the task. Unfortunately, there were many who saw the Rambam always dancing around the idea of Bryas HaOlam and always expressing certain things in a semi-Aristotelian phraseology. And therefore, they made a mistake and say, oh, he's trying to avoid it, trying to avoid saying it. So that's why the Rambam had to come back. And he says, no. This yesod is, you have to know that I'm trying to guide you towards the proper understanding of the Torah, which is the yesod HaGadol that Toras Moshe Rabbeinu is a ha'olam mechudash.
You should have gotten it from this Yesod. Problem is, many people saw Shani Sovev, Sovev, Inyan, Kadmas, Ha'olam. Many people saw me dancing, going around and around the matter of Kadmas, but that was for a different reason. I wanted to make sure that I could prove the existence of God, even in the framework of other people, but not that I was in any way undermining this Yesod. So essentially, the Yesod never changed. But the problem was that the methodology the Rambam envisioned to guide people to the knowledge of Bria Sa'olam was somewhat undermined by his other objective of proving the existence of God in a different manner of proof, which we're, I'm not going to get into, but that's what he mentions in the Mara. Okay, so I think that's clear, because if it was a list of the ideas themselves, he should have said it the first time. It sounds like he's changing his mind. Yeah.
Point of your way of running the Yesodos, then could.
Anyway, let's go for this. So he says, yeah, so that's the first four. The first four are definitely describing the way we perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the creation, and never to attribute to God any elements from his creation. And then the fifth Yesod really is the impact, is the furtherance of that. Based on that knowledge, how should man approach the world? And his only focus should be, because of the first four, his only focus of his kavana and his adoration and avoda, based on the first four, which differentiates God from everything else, has to naturally be towards God alone. Okay, so in a sense, you could say the first five deal with man's knowledge of God. Man's knowledge of God and the way that that impacts him. What type of idea of Hashem he has. And his existence vis-a-vis the creation, and therefore the approach towards Avoda. Okay, but the sixth yesod is interesting. Yeah.
Answer the question.
There's a reason why he counts the second and the third as separate yesod is because he's not giving you the knowledge. It's not the yesod is not the deep idea of achdus, which negates gashmis automatically. It's achdus as a it's the yesod in terms of limud. So you have to remember, you have to know, you have to have these truths solid. And therefore, you can take them as points of reference, so to speak, through which you'll gain to the point where you can see that those all are really contained in one idea. Now, the sixth yesod is fascinating. Ha-nevuah. Ha-nevuah. Va-nevuah. Okay, I hate to put too much on the translation, but and then he says, I tell you, it's I'll read you this. I mean, it's too. It's not possible to go through all these things, and I'm very torn between giving the overview and getting stuck in some of these. But I can't help it. What is what what's what's what jumps out in this episode? V'hu lo da'as shezeh hamin ha'anushi yesh sheyimtzu bo ishim ba'alei kishronos mefutachim me'od v'shleimus gadol. Okay, there are found in this species of man, those who have great talents, great abilities, developed, highly developed, and perfect. Okay, great perfection. V'tiskonei nafsham ashim mikabeles tsuras haseichel, and their soul has certain character, right? That until it is established, until it receives the tzuras hatecha. Good luck with that one, right? The yischaber oso hasecha hanushi b'seichel, and that seichel will join with the seichel hapoel. The yetzal aleihem mimenu atzilus shefa. It will have a great outpouring of emanation to it. And these are the nevi'im, and that is nevuah, and that's its matter. And I can't tell you anymore. Okay. I don't know. What is, and then he says, there are many psukim that tell you that they're in the VM. What is, I don't know,
Rephrase
what's glaringly missing from that? Yeah. It's an amazing thing. He doesn't mention Hashem at all. He doesn't say, Nevuah is God communicating to man. God communicates with man. That's what I would write, HaNevuah. Right. Obviously, this Shefa and this Tzilus and this everything is obviously from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Nevuah in all the Psukim is obviously some type of a knowledge that man gets from Hashem. But it's so strange that he does not say that. Me, it's very strange.
He says it that way. What? I mean, in the Mishnah Torah,
In the
right?
Mishnah Torah,
Yeah.
right? And he says that.
But not this. That's the
Okay, so what is this yesod? Right. So this yesod, it would seem, the essence of this yesod is the tzuras haseichas, is man, is man, and not just what is man. What is the relationship between Hashem and man? What is that relationship? In what way can we have anything to do with God? Okay. In order, if you want to know the perfection that the Torah is trying to bring a person to, you have to understand the Torah's conception of what a person is and what makes a person great, what makes a person worthy, what makes a person distinct before Hashem. That's because ultimately that's what Torah is going to be bringing a person to. So if a person has an idea of Nevuah, that God just randomly, so to speak, capriciously picks an object and produces a voice through it, and it could have been a frog or it could have been anything, right? Then he has no concept of what it is that then he has no concept of that. That's not HaNevuah. I'm going visually. My original question, right? One of the questions I asked before, maybe I'm phrasing it in a weird way, but he says the 60 yesod is HaNevuah. And then he goes, Vehu. He goes through this whole thing to know that man can have certain faculties developed, etc., that he can now interact with essentially the world of Malachim, right? So what if a person just says, I believe in Nevuah, but I think it's like a Navi is basically like just God just zapping a message through him. So he would not have this yesod. In my opinion, he would not have this yesod. Because this yesod is not simply God communicates through man, but that there is the, but that man has within him a Tzelem Elokim. And through that Tzelem Elokim, which is essentially, which is his essence, and is the faculty of truth and knowledge, that's how he, so to speak, can relate to God. That's how God relates to him. And that's what makes man distinct from every other creature. No other, it's only Shezeh Hamin Hanushi Yesh Yimotsubo Ishim Balikshos. That's the species. That's what makes man unique. The fact that he has this ability, the fact that he has this faculty, and that this faculty can, so to speak, break the bonds of the physical world and allow him to interact with the world of the Malach. And it's not so much that he gets a message from God. It's that he's defining the relationship. He's defining the nature of man and, so to speak, his relationship, that with that through which he relates to God. What is the faculty that you relate to God through? Well, you can see that there are individuals who have a certain faculty so highly developed that they can have actual knowledge and a shefa and a tzilus from on high. That's the yesod of the world. You understand? So I don't want to be picky on the Yigimul and on the imams, but that one I think is wrong, because it says that the words in the Nevi'im are true. That's not the S, that's not the focus of it. That's not the focus of it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like Nevuah is only the full expression.
Right.
It's really that lesson isn't only like most of on the end.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. That you can see which is the faculty of that relationship by the effect of the ultimate perfection of it. You're not going to get no one who you don't say, well, is that there are people who are so strong and their bodies are so fit that God recognizes them with special powers. Then we say, oh, well, then maybe that's where, then where, what is the, where is the perfection? What is the, what is that faculty that, that we're measured by in terms of our relationship to God? And that's what the Ram says in the Mor. Ram says in the Mor, it says, look, the Ram in the Mor is very adamant that man should never be, we shouldn't be self-centered. We shouldn't be egocentric and assume that all creation is only for man. Very against that idea. That God is a Borei, he creates everything. That you can't ask why. He says, so why are we different? But that, he says, but so then why is Hashgacha relate to man differently than other creatures? He says, that's only because of Tzelem HaGet. Because we have an element, we have a faculty that of Chochmah knowledge that can relate to Hashem in a more individual way than just being the effect of his creature, of his creation. So, but anyway, the point I'm trying to make is like this. This is kind of like a bridge you sowed, right? Up till now, he's been describing ideas about God. Now he's described, but part of Torah is perfection of man. So you have to have this concept. Now, of course, I think the Ram is very clever over here, and of course he wants you to know Nevuah too, but the point of the he's using this yesod as really that Nevuah is an expression of perfection of man. And in the Mor he's very, you know, that's his theory, that it's it really is a natural, in a certain sense, it is a natural phenomenon. Of course, it's not necessarily doesn't mean just because you have that ability you necessarily become a Navi. He goes, there's an element of Ratzon Hashem and withholding it. But the Ram says in the Mor, he says, if a person was on a level of a Navi and he didn't have Nevuah, that would be like a Nes. Anyway, so then the question though is, so again, it's not Nevuah as a fact. It's that through knowledge we can we relate to the to Hashem. And again, that's the Tzelem HaLokim. Of course, I forgot to mention the question, but Tzelem HaLokim would seem to be a pretty important so too. So that's where we have it. Now, what about the Nevuas Moshe? Nevuas Moshe. Nevuas Moshe. Where does Nevuas Moshe fit? Is it part of Nevuah or is it part of Torah? Right? Because he's got the sixth one is Nevuah. Up till now, God, first five, we can say about a man's relationship to a man's perception of Hashem. The sixth is about more about man himself. And then you have Torah, obviously, is 8, 9, 10, 11. Okay, so but in the middle you have Nevuah's Moshe. So is that a is that a an enhancement of the idea of Nevuah, or is it a precursor to Torah? So if you cheat a little, maybe you look in the Yad, he groups Moshe and Torah, I think, together, right? And his groupings in Hilchos Teshuvah. But what is the focus that Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu, Behu, that we Shenam and Shehu, Avihen, Shel Kol and Avihem Shekadmu Lefanav Avraham Acharav. Okay, he's the father of all that came before and after. And so father obviously is a metaphor. Everyone is lower than him in degree. And he's the Bechir Hashem, Mikol HaMin HaNushi. So we just mentioned Min HaNushi. Some Min HaNushi can go all the way up to have this Atzilus. But Moshe is the Bechir Hashem, Mikol Min HaNushi. Asher Hisig Mimenu Yis'ala Yoser Mimashe Hisig V'yaseg. You know, he perceived more than anyone ever did and anyone ever will. Okay. He doesn't stop. This is all part of the Vahu. Okay. Vishahu, all of Asholam, Higi Letachlis Haromos Me'al HaNushius. He achieved the pinnacle of humanity, or maybe even more. Okay. He says, Ad Shehisig HaMala HaMalachis. He reached the level of a Malach. V'nase B'malas. He was made in the in the height of the malachim, the perfection of malachim. Lo nishar lefon of shum mesach shelo koro. Right, the Ram has a whole, he uses that mashal often of that We perceive God through veils. Okay, every emotion, every imperfection is like a veil. Okay, and Moshe tore through all of the veils, except for the one that is intrinsic to physicality. Okay, v'lo nisha bo shum dovar min hachisaron lo ma'at lo harbe. Okay, and v'nishar seichel bilvad. He was essentially an intellect. V'al'inyin zeh. So in the Nevuah, he was focusing on the Malachim, because that's Ram's idea. You know, every Nevuah comes through a Malach, except for Moshe. And in the Mora, he goes even further. He says, I don't even use the two words. The two words don't even relate. The word Nevuah by Moshe and the word Nevuah by the Levim is just a homonym. It has nothing to do with the Nevuah. Nevuah's Moshe has nothing to do with the Nevuah. Okay. But anyway, so what is it? Is it just we have to just consider Mo is it a is it a yisod about how much kavod we have to how much esteem we have to hold Moshe in? I mean, what do we say? Moshe MS Visoroso MS. Is it like we have to have Moshe MS? Is it Russia MS? What exactly is it? And again, is it simply to elaborate on the Amitas HaTorah? Yeah. So I don't know. I was thinking a lot about this one. And you could say, yeah, it's like you could say, okay, it's kind of like necessary to have the Amitas HaTorah to have such an individual. Yeah, but I was wondering like this. It could be like this. It could be that also an idea about Torah itself. I don't know. I was wondering if this is a good question or not. Words, if it was really just about Torah, then like I said before, it could have been contained in Torah. Well, you could have said we have Torah Minashamayim and we got it through Moshe. It was Moshe first as like a standalone thing. It seems like there should be some value in each yisod as you go along. I can't prove that, but so maybe the yisod of Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu is more than just about the quality of Torah. It's more than just about the perfection of the transmission of Torah, but maybe it means to say that a person has to recognize what Maamar Har Sinai was really all about. Person has to recognize what the mission of Moshe and Torah is really all about. And there's an idea that a person, every there were many other Nevi'im before and after Moshe, but their Nevuos were always directed to groups, to individuals or individual groups, right? To the Yonah went to the Nineveh. You have different Moshe. Avram had Nevuahs about his group, about his family. But essentially, they are the every Navi is essentially a man, and he has a certain great faculty and capacity for knowledge and perfection of his Midos, and he can become a vehicle of particular knowledge. But only if you have an individual who has removed essentially all of his personal attributes can he be a vehicle of perfection and a vehicle of lichus to mankind per se. In other words, you have to have a member of the of a group to represent the group, but every other Navi had personal attributes. He was still a Yisrael, whatever it was, and therefore the nature of his shlichus will intrinsically be limited. Maybe he's the best of this class of these members, but. In order to say, but Torah is not, this is the point I'm trying to make. Torah is not given simply to the group of B'nai Yisrael. Torah is really, Maamar Har Sinai is really an interaction between Hashem and mankind per se. B'nai Yisrael maybe were the immediate recipients, and maybe they were the guardians of that knowledge, but it's for the benefit of mankind. And therefore, to understand what Torah is, you have to understand that Moshe was not simply a great individual, but within mankind, he was almost like a bridge between Malach and man. And therefore, the nature of his transmission, the nature of his shlichus, is really to mankind itself, and that's part of the yesod of what Torah is. You have to understand what Torah is. Torah is not simply a private communication, even with a group as large as we were at the time. Still, that can still be some kind of a private, particular, interaction. B'nai Yisrael were maybe like I said before, the objects, but not the, or maybe they were the point of contact, but they were not the object. The object was the world, was mankind as a whole. And if you don't have this knowledge, it's a distortion of what Torah is. And you have to recognize that who Moshe was to understand what's the nature of the transmission of Torah, not the quality, but the nature. You know what I'm trying to say? Okay, go think it over. And then the eighth yisod, of course, is Torah Min HaShemayim. But what's important over here again is, like I asked before, so once you have Torah Min HaShemayim, you don't need anything else. But if you look more deeply again, when the Rambam says the Vehu, he elaborates on the idea is that every word of the Torah has a certain, every word of the Torah has the same quality of coming from the infinite, coming from the ultimate source of knowledge. And therefore he makes the point that the great fear of Menashe was, he would say, oh, these are the important parts of the Torah, these are the non-important parts of the Torah. No, Torah Min HaShemayim means, how do we approach the study of Torah? We should never say, oh, well, here's just a list of names. We don't need to study this. There's no, that's improper. Because the idea of, and this is going back to what I was saying before, the idea of what kind of a text it is, what kind of a work it is, informs how you study it. And I have to say, sometimes you do get this feeling sometimes you get this feeling, sometimes you have the experience of maybe there's a little problem. Maybe there's a small question you saw, and you're kind of like, eh, it's probably just a very simple, it's probably just nothing to it. And you just try to pass it over. And then maybe you'll see somebody worked out a whole ingenious shear on that particular problem that you just thought was a nothing to pass over. So that's a really a lack in this yesod. That experience is really a lack in this yesod, because you're kind of, you have this sometimes this unconscious sense, like it's less important, less value it contained in here. It's true, Divrei Torah, Shir Shmokom Achad, Nanias Shmokom Achad. But not everything is the same. You're not going to get the same amount of ideas as every line of Gemara. But to think, there's nothing here to investigate. This problem I could just brush over and pass. That's wrong. Because if you really were convinced of this yisod to that degree, you'd say, no, if there's a problem, there must be something contained in it. And I can't tell you how many times you do see that. You do see, and I think, I don't think it's just me. I think we probably all had that experience. So things in the past, why didn't I think about that further? Why didn't I delve into that deeper? So you have to have that conviction in order to study the Torah properly. If you don't have that conviction, you're going to pass over things, and ultimately it goes down to that like Menachem, which is a full-fledged fear. Okay, but again, and also it's not just a Torah Shabbat, and I think the ninth yisod also, the ninth yisod of Bittul is not that the Torah won't, it's not simply that the Torah won't change. Okay, because he says also lo tovo Torah meis Hashem zulasa. There'll be no other Torah. Okay, maybe our Torah will stay. Maybe there'll be another Torah. Right. No, so it means to say again that this Torah that we have represents the ultimate system of perfection for all of mankind. And therefore, it's impossible there ever be. I've heard people say that, the Jews got their thing, the Christians got their things, and there are people who actually, I'm not going to say where they lie in the spectrum of reform, conservative, but there are people who say, I've heard people say, Orthodox, modern type, there's nothing wrong with saying that. That God gave them something too. So no, that's this Yisrael. Then you're saying that Torah is not the ultimate system. Moshe is the ultimate shliach for mankind, and the Torah is the ultimate system of perfection for everybody. And that's what Rambam says. Even a ben Noach who wants to keep the Sheva mitzvos, he must acknowledge from Moshe what they are. Can't say, well, I have a Masorah of the Sheva mitzvos. Not possible. Because nit in the Torah mischav shalacha, but for everybody too. Okay, and then in terms of shkar v'onash, okay, we don't need to go into it. But what about the last two? So Yemos HaMashiach and Tchias HaMeisim. Tchias HaMeisim says kvar b'yar nuhu, but he really didn't do all that much earlier. But luckily for us, and mentioned this many times, that there were those who thought the Rambam didn't really believe in Tchias HaMeisim as a reality. Some type of a mashal of sorts. So he wrote the Maamar Tchias HaMeisim, and he said, "Of course, I meant it." And he explains over there why he counts it as a yesod. Fascinating. And he says the only reason I counted it as a yesod is not because the concept of Tchias HaMeisim itself is so fundamental to Torah. Torah would be the same conceptually. You could have a. It's not. It's not a. It's not like taking out. Torah Min HaShemayim, that you saw, you wouldn't have anything, right? You just wouldn't have Tchias HaMeisim if you didn't have Tchias HaMeisim. So why is it a yesod? So he says it's a yesod because, and this would be like a yesod as opposed to an ikar. Not that the idea of Tchias HaMeisim itself is a fundamental idea that is so important to all of Torah, but if a person were to deny Tchias HaMeisim, it would only be because he doesn't think it's possible. So that would mean he has a lacking in his understanding of Yecholas Hashem. So there are certain, so I would say that the first 10, 11 are more focused on those ideas of Ikarim, what are essential. But let's say at least 13 for now. Yes, I'm Mason. You also have certain things in there that help to define the limits of things. Don't think, yes, I believe God created the world, but there's certain things that even he can't do within the created world. It's just too much. Right? Now, Tchias HaMeisim is a yesod that you have, that as long as a person accepts it, and the Rambam says the reason he chose Tchias HaMeisim is because it's the furthest expression of nes. It is the most unnatural thing possible. It's not lots of frogs coming out of the river. I mean, it's not something that has anything to do in any way with what happens in nature, reversing all of the entropy and endowing us a body with it. That's nothing that occurs in nature. So the nature of that yesod is limit. There's no limit to the concepts that we laid down before of Hashem as the Borei. Okay, and I would say. I would posit, I would suggest as a corollary to that, the yesod of Mashiach is also of that same nature. And it's interesting, if you look in the very end of the of Avraham ben Aram on Bitachon, so he says there are certain things that everybody has to believe fully, completely. And he says things that are expressed in the Torah through the Nevi'im. And it says those are things of haftachos, those things everybody has to accept and can't have some wishy-washy bitachon on. He goes to a different level of bitachon. It is on this one you have to have the highest level. So I think that's what the Rambam is saying here too. The 12th yesod is a yesod in bitachon bidvar Hashem. Every Jew must have complete faith and in the haftachos of the Torah. And therefore, he says, that's Yemos HaMashiach. Again, he uses that as an expression of what it means to have bitachon. the furthest thing out there in the final haftacha, so to speak. And also, you see, Rav says, he says, and even if you don't think it's coming from the house of David, you're kosher. Meaning to say, in the realm of bitachon in the Avtochas Hashem, it's not enough to have bitachon in the generality. Every detail is part of the mitzvah of bitachon, is part of the sisod of bitachon. And that's why he says, and if you have a doubt in it, you're a kofer. Because it's the nature of bitachon that he's trying to describe over here. And maybe a person will say, yeah, I pretty much have, I have a lot of faith that it will most likely happen this way. That's not bitachon. You understand? That's why in this one he puts in the idea of sfeikus, because he wants to make sure that you understand the degree of what pitachon means. And so that's why in this one he has to mention if you're mesupakin, because a person could say, yeah, well, maybe pitachon means it'll probably happen, and then it's a path. There's a reality before God that it could work out. Maybe that's all pitachon means. You know, maybe that's haftacha. It's a line of probability of possibility that we may go down. You understand what I'm saying? So therefore, he says no. If there's a Dvar Hashem, if there's a Havtochas Hashem, that's part of the studying of it. That's part of the Yesodus. That's how you have to interpret Pesukim, and that's why he emphasizes that it's. Don't, but that's because don't think bitachon means that I have to now find and interpret the psukim to see exact. No, it's trying to show you the line of bitachon. Don't bitachon doesn't mean on the kind doesn't mean I have to now understand. I have to posit what time the pasuk is predicting. That's not the bitachon. Bitachon is simply that I know it will happen because there's a haftacha that it will happen, and my faith in that is absolute. Okay, and also in all of the details. Okay, that's why he says mechlala is that she'ein melech Yisrael ella mi David umizar Shlomo dafka. Of course, that's also. For other reasons, but is Hareza Kofer Bashem. Okay, so that's what I had to say, and I encourage everybody to start from the beginning of the parak and work through. I'm not sure what the problem is. Because what I'm saying over here is when he says you have to include in this the mishpacha and everything else, he says that's the nature of bitachon. He's trying to say, don't think the nature. No, he's saying there's a Bitachon has a certain scope. So, in a certain sense, it's general, and in a certain sense, it's extremely particular. In terms of the events that are described, every detail is part of your bitachon. But in terms of analyzing the psukim of exactly when that means it'll happen, says that's not something we do, right? So, and to relate to it. In any way other than absolute truth is a lack in this in bitachon. Okay. Agavorcha, what's interesting is to think about things that are not Yesodos, like in the Yesod of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Rambam in the, I think he has in the Yad too, but in the Mora also he has that. Only Moshe, that Moshe's miracles were different than any other Navi, but that is not part of the Yesod. In terms of number four, number one, the thing is like this. You could have, from number one alone, you could have an idea, an Aristotelian idea of matter continuously existing with God eternally. So four, from four, the Rambam thought he was negating that. But then he realized that people still were misunderstanding what he was saying. When he says God is the only Kadmon and there's nothing else is Kadum B'yeches Lo, it still had a smack of an ambiguity, you know. But in his mind, what he was trying to say is that to negate the Aristotelian idea of all creation existing with God
So perhaps,
permanently.
so maybe you're saying is that number one tells you that God is, of course, telling you
Let's
the
talk about
Ratzon.
the idea of Ratzon for Bria. Correct.
That's
Absolutely right. Exactly right. Bechira, he makes a whole emphasis on the ikkar in the Torah, right? In Hilchos Teshuvah. But it's just something I think Albo is right. It's too basic of an of a of, over there he's trying to his focus is on tshuva. Over there his focus is on
Yeah,
tshuva.
cousin was called Misha,
Yeah,
brothers, so that's like.
right. Not something that has to be expressed over here. If you're studying Torah, you have bechira.
Yeah.
Could say it's part of Torah mitzvahs, but if you get to what degree you have to know the deal is a good question.
Like you mentioned, it was like the last sitting of the Torah.
Like, what if a person just knows that Moshe's nevuah is completely different, but he's not up on the four differences. I have to, I mean, my feeling is that the particulars are not important in that sense. The particulars of the particulars. But he's trying to give you a fuller sense of what it means to believe in this ikkar. You can't just have the word. So nevuah Moshe, what does nevuah Moshe mean? It means that he was a completely different individual and his nevuah was completely different. It's true, he kind of does express that as part of the vahu, but I think if you go through it, we try to go through more in depth, it's like each one of those four represents an idea of is an expression of the fact that he had no more barrier of the physicality. He wasn't shaken up. He was able to be awake. I mean, he's just trying to drive it home. But I think if a person was not so familiar with how Nebuah worked, he just knows that Moshe was not through any intermediary idea. It was just peh, and he's seichel nifrat, so to speak. I think that would be good. But again, it's like Aaron and Miriam, people always ask. So apparently, yeah, they knew the voice motion, but maybe they didn't know at that point exactly how far it went. But certainly they knew the voice motion was different than everything else. So it doesn't seem like you could say that you have to know the details of exactly what way he's different. But the Rambam is very into, I mean, Nevuah is something that he's always going over. Promises a few times he's going to write a whole book on it. But essentially made it in the market.